Ce matin, j'ai parlé de l'importance de la prière dans notre vie.
So this morning, I spoke of the importance of prayer in our life.
Un approfondissement de cette relation filiale avec le Père.
And the deepening of our relationship, our filial relationship with the Father.
Alors, donc cet après-midi, je voudrais répondre plutôt à la question comment prier.
So this afternoon, I would like to respond more to the question of how to pray.
Alors, je ne vais pas, disons, donner des recettes.
So I'm not going to give formulas.
Je voudrais donner plutôt un esprit un peu général.
I'm going to give more of a general spirit.
Je crois que quand nous prenons un temps de prière personnelle,
I think when we take time for personal prayer,
si je prends 20 minutes ou bien plus,
if I take 20 minutes or more,
nous pouvons occuper ce temps de différentes manières.
We can use this time in different ways.
Nous pouvons parler librement avec le Seigneur.
We can speak freely to the Lord.
Nous pouvons partir de la méditation de l'Écriture.
We can meditate on the Scriptures.
Nous prenons un temps d'adoration en silence.
We can take time for adoration in silence.
Nous pouvons aussi réciter notre chapelet. Enfin bon.
We could say the Rosary.
Donc, il y a beaucoup de manières différentes de prier.
There are many different ways of praying.
Et d'autres encore.
And others as well.
Ce qui est le plus important,
but what is the most important,
c'est pas telle ou telle méthode,
is not this or that method,
même si parfois elles peuvent être utiles pour nous aider,
even if a certain method can be useful to help us.
Je crois qu'il y a une certaine pédagogie de la prière qui peut être importante.
There's a pedagogy of prayer that can be important.
Mais c'est important pour nous de comprendre la chose suivante.
But what's important for us to understand is that what really counts is the attitude of our heart. Not a certain method that's more useful or efficient than another. But what are the interior attitudes of our heart in our time of prayer? This is the essential.
Donc, je vais proposer des réflexions là-dessus.
So I propose a reflection on this.
Alors, pour introduire cette réflexion, je voudrais faire une citation de Saint Jean de la Croix.
So, to introduce this reflection, I'd like to cite Saint John of the Cross.
Donc, vous savez qu'il a aidé Thérèse d'Avila pour la réforme du Carmel.
You know, he helped Teresa of Avila reform Carmel.
Au XVIe siècle en Espagne.
In the 16th century in Spain.
C'est un des plus grands maîtres de la spiritualité.
So he's one of the greatest masters of spirituality.
Dans l'introduction d'un de ses ouvrages,
and in the introduction into one of his works,
il dit une chose qui est un petit peu surprenante.
He says something that's a little surprising.
Il dit qu'il y a des personnes qui sont persuadées de bien prier.
He says there are people who are convinced they pray well,
mais qui prient mal,
but they pray badly.
Mais inversement,
and on the converse,
il y a des personnes qui sont persuadées de mal prier.
There are people who are convinced that they pray badly.
Mais qui prient très bien.
But they pray very well.
Donc, alors, cette remarque nous oblige un petit peu à réfléchir.
So this comment really forces us to think.
Donc, qu'est-ce que c'est la valeur d'une prière?
What is the value of our prayer?
Qu'est-ce qui fait que la prière me fait vraiment rencontrer Dieu?
What really allows my prayer to help me meet God?
Et puis aussi qu'elle me transforme intérieurement.
And also what prayer transforms me interiorly.
Alors, je pense que la réponse à cette question,
I think that the response to this question,
je pense qu'en définitive, elle est assez simple.
It's very simple.
Au moins en théorie.
In theory. In practice,
non, en pratique aussi.
But in practice too.
Donc, on pourrait proposer la réponse suivante.
We could offer the following response.
Qui est simple, mais que je vais développer évidemment.
It's simple, but I will develop it.
Donc la réponse suivante, c'est que la prière qui est bonne.
Good prayer.
Celle qui nous fait vraiment toucher Dieu.
The prayer that really allows us to touch God.
Qui change peu à peu notre cœur, notre vie.
And that changes little by little our hearts and our lives.
Et bien, c'est la prière qui est un acte de foi.
Is prayer that is an act of faith.
La prière qui est un acte d'espérance.
Prayer that is an act of hope.
Et la prière qui est un acte d'amour.
And prayer that is an act of love.
Oui, donc là on trouve les trois vertus théologales.
So we find the three theological virtues.
La foi, l'espérance, la charité.
Faith, hope and love.
Donc, qui sont le cœur, l'âme de la vie chrétienne.
These are at the heart and soul of Christian life.
Ah, mais c'est aussi le fondement de la prière.
But it's also the foundation for prayer.
Alors, donc je vais un petit peu développer cette idée.
So I'll develop this idea.
Alors, ça donne pas une méthode.
So it's not, I'm not giving you a method.
Mais ça nous permet quand même d'être attentif à ce qui est le plus important.
But it helps us to be aware of what's the most important.
Ça peut nous donner des points de repère aussi pour notre vie personnelle.
And it can give us touch points for our personal lives.
Donc je vais parler de chacun de ces trois points.
So I'll speak of each one of these three points.
Comment chacune des vertus théologales est fondamentale dans la prière.
How each theological virtue is fundamental in prayer.
Justement, la prière nous oblige à les pratiquer.
Prayer forces us to practice them.
Il nous oblige à pratiquer la foi, pratiquer l'espérance.
It obliges us to practice faith, hope.
Et à pratiquer l'amour aussi.
And to practice love as well.
D'une manière simple mais réelle.
In a simple but real way.
Donc ça permet aussi un approfondissement.
And it also permits a deepening, a deepening of these theological virtues.
Alors, je vais dire d'abord un petit mot sur la prière comme un acte de foi.
So first I'll say a word on prayer as an act of faith.
Oui, chaque fois que nous nous mettons en prière,
each time we go to pray,
même si nous n'y pensons pas,
even if we're not aware of it,
nous posons un acte de foi.
We're making an act of faith.
Dès que je commence à prier,
as soon as I begin to pray,
je crois que Dieu existe.
I believe God exists.
Je crois que Dieu s'intéresse à moi.
I believe God is interested in me.
Je crois que Dieu m'aime.
I believe that God loves me.
Je crois que ça vaut la peine de lui donner du temps.
I believe that it's worth my time to give him some of my time.
Donc, il y a un acte de foi qui est posé.
So there's an act of faith we're making.
Donc, c'est une chose simple.
It's a very simple thing,
mais qui est très importante.
But it's very important.
Parce que déjà un petit peu pendant la messe.
I already spoke of it a little during Mass.
C'est justement cet acte de foi.
It's exactly this act of faith
qui nous met en contact avec le mystère de Dieu.
That puts us in contact with the mystery of God.
Avec le Dieu invisible.
With the invisible God.
C'est ça qui est la beauté, la force de la foi.
This is the beauty and strength of faith.
C'est qu'elle nous met vraiment en contact avec Dieu.
It's that it really puts us in touch with God.
Alors, d'une manière qui n'est pas toujours sensible.
And it's in a way that we can't always feel.
Mais d'une manière qui est réelle.
But a real way.
Oui. C'est vrai que dans notre relation avec Dieu,
it's true that in our relationship with God,
c'est toute notre humanité qui intervient, bien entendu.
All of our humanity is implicated.
Toutes nos facultés humaines sont impliquées d'une certaine manière.
All of our human faculties are implicated in some way.
Notre sensibilité,
the way we feel things,
our emotions, intelligence aussi,
our intellect as well.
Donc sont impliqués dans notre prière.
They're all involved in our prayer.
Mais oui, prenons le cas de la sensibilité, par exemple.
But if we take the case of the way we feel things, for example,
oui, quand nous sommes fidèles à la prière,
when we're faithful to prayer,
nous vivons parfois de très beaux, moments.
Sometimes we experience very beautiful moments,
des émotions belles, profondes,
beautiful emotions that are very deep.
Nous sentons la tendresse de Dieu,
we feel God's tenderness.
Nous sentons son amour,
we feel his love.
Parfois, nous pouvons avoir une joie profonde.
Sometimes we feel a very deep joy. We can cry.
C'est des choses qui arrivent.
These are things that happen.
Puis donc, c'est des choses qui sont bonnes.
And they're very good things.
Parce que quand notre émotion est touchée,
because when our emotions are touched,
ça nous ouvre, hein, au mystère de Dieu.
That opens us up to the mystery of God.
Dieu n'est pas simplement une idée abstraite.
God is not just an abstract idea,
mais une réalité qui a touché mon cœur.
But a reality that has touched my heart.
Et donc, c'est une chose qui est très, très positive.
So it's a very positive thing.
Vous savez aussi que dans la persévérance dans la prière,
but you also know that in perseverance in prayer,
il y a parfois des moments où la sensibilité est pauvre.
There are times when our feelings are very poor.
On voudrait sentir l'amour de Dieu.
We would like to feel God's love.
On voudrait des émotions.
We would like emotions.
On voudrait vibrer.
We'd like to vibrate.
On voudrait sentir un enthousiasme.
We'd like to feel an enthusiasm.
Parfois c'est possible.
Sometimes it's possible.
Parfois ça l'est pas.
Sometimes it's not.
Malgré notre bonne volonté,
despite our goodwill, there are times where in the area of our feelings, we're in a certain dryness,
comme un morceau de bois,
like a piece of wood
pas grand chose.
That doesn't feel very much.
Parfois, ça peut nous désoler un petit peu.
And sometimes this is a moment of desolation. But this can't cause us to worry. When we go through these moments of dryness, we have to remember something. What measures our contact with God, it's not the intensity of our emotions. That's not the thermometer we should use. Because God is much, much more above what we can feel. He's much greater than that.
Alors, c'est une bonne chose quand, effectivement, notre sensibilité est touchée.
So it's a good thing when our sensibilities are touched. This is a gift God gives us. And we have to welcome it and give thanks. But when we go through a time of dryness, and we'd really like to feel beautiful things, but we're in a complete aridity, this can't discourage us. We just have to remember this truth, that what puts me in contact with God is faith. And that's enough. John of the Cross says, the soul is as much united with God as it has faith. It's faith that puts us in contact with God. Sometimes in joy and enthusiasm. Sometimes in poverty. But it doesn't matter. As soon as I have this attitude of faith, Lord, I believe. I believe in your presence, in your love. I believe with all my heart. This act of faith is enough to put us in contact with God. And God is working in a secret way, but in a real way. God works in our hearts, and he transmits himself to us. And then the fruits will come little by little in our lives. Faith sets us free. Free to feel and to taste when it's given to us. But faith also sets us free to continue, even if we're experiencing a certain dryness. And sometimes it's necessary too. Because it's good to feel nice emotions, but we can be too attached to them. And to look for the gifts of God rather than God himself. Sometimes we're at risk of being like little children that always want to be loved and given gifts. And then we pass through a certain selfishness. But God wants to come and set us free little by little and teach us to search for himself. And not just the gifts that he gives us. It's a love that is freer and more authentic. So all that I've said about the way that we feel these things, we can also say the same thing about our intellect. Sometimes God comes to meet us in our intellect, which is to say that he enlightens our mind. He gives us a certain enlightenment that can be very important and precious for our life. It could be certain lights about certain areas of Christian life. I understand better the mystery of the Eucharist or this or that other thing. And this encourages my faith. It enriches it. And then sometimes in prayer we receive other lights in regards to our personal lives. We have certain decisions to make. And we take a time of prayer. We say a novena, for example. And then the Holy Spirit enlightens us. And we understand which is the right decision to make. So, of course, all of this is very precious. And we have to give thanks to God for all of these moments of light that he gives us and that if we're faithful to looking for them. But as I was saying earlier, in our prayer life, there is sometimes there are moments where we don't have a lot of enlightenment. And God does not respond right away to all of our questions. He gives us the light that we need. God is faithful. But all the same, there are times in our life where we go through a period of a certain darkness. There are certain aspects of our faith that stay quite mysterious. And God doesn't respond right away to all of our questions. We'd like every day, if God put a little paper under our door that said, here's what you have to do. This would be very practical. But it doesn't work this way. This is kind of the paradox of Christian life. Sometimes there's great enlightenment. But sometimes, too, there's a certain amount of obscurity. I don't understand everything. Why does God do this? Why does he permit this? What is the meaning of this or that event? Why did God permit this in my life? We don't always have the response. And we have to accept this. It can be painful sometimes. We'd like to have all of the explanations for many reasons. But I would say that one of the frequent reasons is that we have a really great desire, a need for security. We'd like to understand everything, to be at peace. But God doesn't always give us this security. It's a human security in the end. Because our true security is not in knowing everything or in understanding everything, explaining everything. Our true security is to have complete trust in God, even in the obscure moments. So in this way, God also purifies our mind. That we do not rely only on what we understand, but that we rely on God alone, even when we don't understand. Lord, I don't understand very well what you're doing in my life, but I believe all the same. And I'll continue with you. I won't change gods. I'll keep the same one. But sometimes it's a struggle. We'd prefer an idol that we can manipulate and bribe easily over the God who's mysterious, that is above our mind. And as John of the Cross says, it's very good to understand. But everything that we understand of God, it's not God. It's still not as much as God is. God is much more than what our human intelligence can understand. So it's normal that in spiritual life, there are moments of darkness like this. And in these moments, we have to remember what I said before. What puts me in contact with God is faith. Sometimes it's in a great moment of enlightenment. Sometimes in suffering, in darkness. But faith. I know that through faith, I will remain in contact with God. We see sometimes people, I'll just take an example, where you have very beautiful prayer in a charismatic group. Our community was born in the charismatic renewal. So sometimes it's in prayer. And at the end of the prayer, there's a woman who says something. And she says, oh, this was amazing. I felt God's presence. I received so much consolation. I received so much enlightenment. It's really marvelous. And then you have this poor other person to the side who says, oh, I didn't feel anything. I didn't understand anything. And that person is desolate. And they think that God abandoned them or that they haven't done what they should have. But no, you can't become desolate. Maybe I didn't feel anything big. Maybe I didn't receive a lot of light. But I believe that God has done something. I was there for him. I spent an hour with him. I believe God did something in my life. Faith allows us to become adults. And it helps us to judge not in a superficial way, but in truth. And you know how much Jesus insisted on this. The importance of faith. It's really faith that puts us in touch with God. So I won't say more about that. Does that make sense, what I've said? We need to remember this from time to time. So now I'll move to the second point, which is prayer as an act of hope. So here we find something that's very important too. It's true that once we are in prayer, we're making an act of hope. To pray means to say, Lord, I'm waiting on everything from you. I need you. I cannot save myself, but I wait for salvation from you. You are the source of this salvation. I raise my eyes toward you. I wait for my salvation from you and the grace that I need. So there's always this attitude in prayer. That's an attitude of hope. So why is it so important? For many reasons. But one of the reasons I believe hope is so important, it's because prayer is often an experience of poverty. Prayer is a mysterious reality and paradoxical. It's a great treasure. Sometimes we experience beautiful things, a deep happiness, a fullness. We feel fulfilled. Sometimes our hearts are full of happiness that's much greater than all of the joys of the world. But it's not always like that. Sometimes, as I've said, there are moments of poverty. This is inevitable. It's a little strange. Sometimes, without having done anything to deserve it, God touches us and fills us. And sometimes we search a lot, and we feel like we haven't really managed to receive anything. Sometimes prayer is an experience of poverty. And I would say for a few reasons. The first reason is that in the area of prayer, there's no technical aspect that's always going to be efficient. There are certain areas of life where we have a technique that works very well. I know how to drive my car or make my computer work. So I have a technique that allows me to come to a result. However, in the domain of prayer, of course, there are certain methods, but there's no technique that is always efficient. We're always dependent on God. Sometimes he touches us, he visits us. Sometimes he's silent. We can't force God to speak. So we're in a certain dependence, a certain poverty.
Puis je dirais que la deuxième raison aussi pour laquelle la prière est une expérience de pauvreté.
And I would say the second reason why prayer is often an experience of poverty.
C'est que, eh bien, plus nous sommes proches de Dieu,
is that the closer we are to God,
plus nous entrons dans la lumière de Dieu,
the more we enter into the light of God,
plus nous voyons nos limites,
the more we see our limits,
notre fragilité humaine,
our human fragility,
notre péché,
our sin,
nos imperfections,
our imperfections,
ce qui n'est pas guéri en nous,
the things that are not healed in us,
nos blessures,
our wounds.
Nous voyons de manière plus claire.
We see them in a more clear way.
Et là aussi, c'est un peu paradoxal.
And here too, it's a little paradoxical.
C'est que parfois, la lumière de Dieu,
sometimes God's light is very soft and very, very nice. But sometimes God's light is difficult because we see clearer. We see our sin and our misery. It's like an image that John of the Cross uses. If you have a house that's completely closed, and outside there's a great sun, and there's just a little hole, and through the hole there's a ray of sunlight that comes into the room. It's very intense. And in this ray of sunlight, you can see perfectly all of the dust. So much dust, you couldn't have imagined it. You say, wow, really? It's not possible for there to be so much dust in this room. It's the same for our hearts. When we come close to God, we see that in our soul, there's a lot more dust than what we imagined. And not just dust. And sometimes it's a little painful. We would like to go forward. And instead we have the impression of going backwards. And it's not that we're going back. But we just see more clearly. My hardness of heart. My pride. All of the ways I'm still looking for myself. All of the things that still must be converted. I see them in a way that's more clear. And I feel my poverty. I thought I was Superman. The most exemplary person in the parish. And then I realize that I'm not better than others. And sometimes this happens. There's a parish where you have perpetual adoration. And I sign up on Friday evening from 11 to midnight. I sign up on Monday. I'm really happy about this hour of adoration that I've picked up. It's going to be a great moment of happiness with the Lord. And then on Friday at 11 o'clock, I'm tired out from the week. And I get to the church. And an hour beforehand, I was arguing with someone. So I'm still angry about that. And I'm not able to pray. And I'm distracted all the time. I see all the things that are going badly in my life. All of it comes to the surface. My regret for the past, my struggles today, and my worries for the future. Everything comes to the surface. And I'm all alone in the church. I'm stuck for an hour. I can't get on the internet. I can't get on Facebook or whatever else. There's no possible distraction. And now this moment that I thought would be a time of happiness, it becomes a moment of struggle. But it's a grace. And this is where we practice the virtue of hope. This is where it's important. What does it mean to practice hope? It's to say, Lord, I'm poor. you have before you, you have a poor person. You have a sinner before you. I'm a fragile man. Maybe even more than I imagined. But it doesn't matter. Because you are the Savior. It's not me. I'm not counting on myself. But I'm counting on you. It's my hope is in you. I hope in your mercy. I hope in your forgiveness. I hope you will heal my heart one day. And I know it. But so I accept my poverty. I ask you for the strength to convert myself, of course. I ask you for the courage to work on it every day. But I put my hope in you. And I accept peacefully. I accept my limits. Because my hope is in you. Sometimes prayer forces us to practice hope. Sometimes prayer is a path of glory. But sometimes also it's a path of humility. It's a path of humility as well. When we discover little by little what we are, but it's also a grace. Because we learn not to judge others anymore. We realize that we need mercy. And that we're forced to more and more to rely on God and not on ourselves. It's a grace. Because little by little, it sets us free. So practicing humility, practicing hope, and putting all of our trust in God, little by little, doing this, we will find a deep peace. And the Lord consoles us in a certain way. It's true that you are small and poor, but I am your God. You can rely on me. I am with you in your path of conversion. And you can count on my grace. So in the end, it's a source of peace and of freedom to place all of our trust in God, to rely on Him and not simply on ourselves. In the life of Saint King Louis, Jesus said to him, "You'd like to pray like a saint, but I invite you to pray like a poor person. To pray like a poor person." This is prayer of truth. And we find in the Psalms words that are very beautiful. A poor person cried out, and God listens. The prayer that God hears is the prayer of the poor that need God's salvation. In the Gospel, there's the words that you know very well. The words of the publican and the Pharisee. The two men who go to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee who prays like this, saying, "Lord, I give you thanks because I'm not like the others. I fast, I do this, I do that. I'm not like this sinner." This man who's very satisfied with himself. And on the other hand, you have the poor publican who stays at the back, who beats his chest, saying, "Lord, have mercy on me, because I am a sinner." And Jesus says to us in the Gospel that this man was justified. When he went home, his heart was changed because of his prayer of humility, of faith, and his cry to the Lord. The Lord healed his heart. This man was forgiven and justified. The prayer that goes to heaven, the prayer that really touches God's heart, is the prayer of the poor. This is one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed is the one who recognizes how small he is and who places all of his hope in God. The kingdom will be given to him. So prayer is as prayer of hope. Teresa of Avila was very insistent too. She said that one of the foundations of a life of prayer is humility. The one who lowers himself will be exalted. The one who realizes he is poor before God will be healed and transformed. So the third theological virtue also has a fundamental role in prayer. It's prayer as an act of love. And it's true that each time we pray, it's an act of love. We're looking for God. We're giving God our time, which is very precious. And in sincere prayer, we wish to love God. We want to give to Him. We want to welcome Him. We want to belong to Him. We want to do His will. And I think that in each moment of true prayer, we are there for God, to give ourselves to Him in trust. So an act of love that's sometimes accompanied with feelings of love. Sometimes it's in a certain dryness, but it doesn't matter. There's still a true desire to give oneself to God, to love Him. I recognize that I'm poor and fragile, but I want to love You with all of my heart. I don't want to just love You with half my heart or 80%, but I want to love You with all my heart. There's this sincere desire. And it's part of true prayer. I'll make a little parenthesis here. When we take time for prayer, it can be good to express something. To say, Lord, we're going to spend half an hour together. I am here for You, not for myself, but for You. I'm not looking for a result. I'm not looking for efficiency. I'm here for You, just very simply, like a candle burning before You. This is all I'm looking for. And what's kind of paradoxical is that the more our prayer is like this, with this spirit, where we're not searching to produce anything, in this way, it will be more fruitful. And it's true when we enter into prayer, we enter into a different logic, above all in regards to the world today, where we search always for efficiency, for productivity, and to reliability, to production, a spirit of production. Whereas in prayer, it's another logic. I'm there for You, Lord. I'm not here looking for results. I know that You'll give me everything that's necessary. I'm not worried about it. But in prayer, I'm here for You. And it's important because it sets us free as well. If the prayer goes well, and I'm very happy with it, well, that's great. Thank you, Lord. But if my prayer doesn't go very well, and I'm distracted, or I'm finding it hard to concentrate, or I feel nothing, it doesn't matter. I wasn't there for myself. I was there for you, Lord. So I accept it. So this is one of the signs that our prayer is really a prayer of love. It's whether it goes well or not. And at the end of the day, it's not important. It's God who is important. So in fact, it sets us free. And in fact, our prayer really becomes more fruitful. So what I wanted to say there was just that it's good to remind ourselves of this. When we begin prayer, to say in an explicit way, I am there for you, Lord. And in this way, our prayer is really an act of love. It's simple, but very deep. And it touches God's heart. So what's beautiful too is that our prayer is a gift of self to God, an act of love for God, but it's also an act of love for our neighbor for different reasons. So sometimes we're praying for someone. We're interceding for this or that person. This or that need of the world or of the church. And so this is in an explicit way. And it's explicitly an act of love for the ones around us. But even when we're not thinking of it, because there's not only intercession in prayer, there are moments of just simple adoration, of praise. We're not always making prayers of intercession, even if this has its place. But even someone who's just taking time for adoration, without necessarily thinking about praying for other people, I would say this is an act of charity. I would say there are two reasons. The first is that this prayer transforms me little by little. It makes me more humble. It makes me more gentle. It makes me more merciful. It gives me the strength to forgive. So this is a gift for others as well. Blessed is happy is the person whose wife prays. Or the woman whose husband prays. So it's not to say that it happens in 30 seconds. But thanks to faithfulness in prayer, a person becomes more gentle, more humble, more peaceful, more trusting. And this is a gift for the whole family. It's obvious. The peace, for example. Sometimes we really allow our worries to weigh on others. So it's normal to share certain things. But sometimes we cause things to weigh on others. Our worries, our fear. And this isn't right. So I would say sometimes it's a responsibility to take a good time for prayer, to rediscover our peace, and to rediscover trust, and not to allow to weigh on others all of our fears and worries. But sometimes they find it very hard to carry and to transmit around myself hope and peace. This is an important act of charity.
découragé quand on n'y arrive pas parfaitement.
Of course, we can't become discouraged when we don't manage it perfectly.
Mais ça doit être quand même un désir pour nous.
But it should be a desire that we have
de trouver dans la prière,
to find in prayer
a
peace,
a
trust,
une espérance,
a hope
que nous puissions communiquer aux autres,
that we might transmit it to others.
C'est un grand cadeau qu'on leur fait.
It's a great gift that we give.
Oui, je fais une petite parenthèse là, c'est que
I'll say about that, another parenthesis.
Évidemment, quand on parle de la prière,
when we speak of prayer,
on peut appliquer ce que dit Jésus dans l'évangile.
We can apply what Jesus said in the gospel.
On juge l'arbre à ses fruits.
We can judge a tree by its fruits.
Donc, la prière authentique,
so authentic prayer,
c'est celle qui porte des fruits,
is the prayer that bears fruit little by little.
De douceur,
fruit of meekness,
humilité,
of humility, of charity, of goodness, etc. All of the fruits of the Spirit that we find in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And it's true that the fruit that is the most important is love, is charity. Prayer that allows me to grow in the love of God. And also in love of my neighbor. This is one of the criteria of truth. But I think that among these fruits as well, there's another one that's important. It's not the most essential. That's charity. But it's an important fruit. Also for discernment. And that's the fruit of peace. If somebody says, my prayer is not that great, it's simple, sometimes it's very poor, but I'm faithful to prayer.
Et une des raisons pour lesquelles je suis fidèle,
and one of the reasons why I'm faithful,
c'est parce que je fais cette expérience,
is because I experience
et grâce à la prière,
that thanks to prayer,
le Seigneur pacifie mon cœur.
The Lord is setting my heart at peace.
Non, pas toujours dans une paix totale,
not always with a complete peace, not an absolute peace,
et grâce à la prière,
but thanks to prayer,
ce contact avec Dieu,
and this contact with God,
Dieu qui est le Dieu de la paix,
God who is the God of peace,
Dieu qui est un abîme de
God who is an abyss of peace. God communicates this peace to me. And prayer helps me to be more tranquil, more trusting. This is a very good sign of authenticity of our prayer. I think today it's an important point. To pray for 1,000 reasons. But also for welcoming God's peace and then sharing it around us. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called sons of God. I spoke a lot about filial life, receiving everything from God. And I think there's a beautiful aspect there. Receiving from God this peace that is necessary to me, that I might share it with others as well. So I'm finishing that parenthesis. So prayer is an act of love for our neighbor, for the reasons I've just said, but also for another simple and even deeper reason, which is that once someone comes close to God, He attracts others alongside him. We're never alone in prayer. When I'm looking for God, when I'm giving myself to him, there are always other people that are attracted to. All of the people I love, the people that I'm carrying in my heart. If I come close to God, I know that they also come close to God. Maybe it's not visible right away. Maybe they're still not going to Mass. But one day, I believe that I've come closer to God with all of the people that I've carried in my heart. And I believe that one day that will be a grace for them too. Thérèse of the Child Jesus really believed in this too. She speaks about it very beautifully.
Alors, je voudrais développer un dernier point.
So I'd like to develop a final point.
Oui. Donc, qui est une chose simple, mais qui me paraît extrêmement importante aussi.
Which is something that's very simple but very important.
Voyez, je dis que la prière est un acte d'amour de Dieu.
I said that prayer was an act of love for God.
Dans lequel je me donne à Dieu.
In which I give myself to God.
Sincèrement.
Sincerely.
Tel que je suis.
As I am.
Oui, je me donne à Dieu.
But I give myself to God.
Mais il y a une chose qu'il faut pas oublier.
But there's something that we can't forget.
C'est que dans la relation entre l'homme et Dieu,
it's that in the relationship between man and God,
une relation réciproque, bien sûr.
It's a reciprocal relationship, of course.
Mais c'est Dieu qui nous a aimé le premier.
But it's God who loved us first.
Mais c'est ce que dit Saint Jean dans sa lettre.
This is what Saint John says in his letter.
Ce n'est pas nous qui avons aimé Dieu.
It's not we who have loved God.
C'est Dieu qui nous a aimé le premier.
It's God who has loved us first.
C'est toujours Dieu le premier.
God is always the first
qui nous donne son amour.
To give us his love. Freely.
Et ce qui veut dire que une des dimensions de la prière,
and this means that one of the dimensions of prayer,
c'est se donner à Dieu, bien sûr,
it's to give oneself to God, of course.
C'est encore plus fondamental,
but what's even more fundamental,
c'est d'accueillir l'amour de Dieu.
Is to receive the love of God.
Croire à l'amour.
Believe in his love.
Nous avons cru à l'amour.
We have believed in love.
Qui nous dépasse.
That it surpasses us.
L'infiniment.
It's infinitely greater than we are. But it is given to us without cost. And generously. By the Father. And I welcome this love. In my poverty. In my limits. I receive this love from God. Because I know that the more I welcome God's love, the better I'll be able to respond to it. To give myself to God, to give myself to my brothers and sisters. I need God's grace. I have to receive God's love. Because if I do not know how to receive God's love, then I can't give very much either. My ability is limited. The love with which I must love God, with which I must love my brothers and sisters, I have to receive it and allow myself to be loved. And I'll say something about this. Sometimes it's more difficult to allow ourselves to be loved than to love. Because when we love, I'm the person who's giving. I'm the generous person who's doing good for others. This is very good. But it can be a position of pride.
Tandis que se laisser aimer,
whereas allowing ourselves to be loved,
je suis un pauvre,
is to say, Lord, I'm poor.
J'ai besoin d'être aimé.
And I need to be loved.
Donc ça suppose une attitude d'humilité,
it requires an attitude of humility.
Une attitude de confiance,
and an attitude of trust.
Accueillir l'amour de l'autre,
to welcome the love of the other.
Croire à l'amour de l'autre,
to believe in the love of the other.
Et c'est un aspect fondamental.
This is a fundamental aspect.
Je voudrais l'illustrer par une citation de Thérèse de l'Enfant Jésus.
So I'd like to illustrate it with a word from Thérèse of the Child Jesus.
Qui a été très très fidèle dans sa vie de prière.
Who was very faithful in her prayer life.
Et même si souvent sa vie de prière était pauvre.
Even though often her prayer life was very poor.
Quand elle était au Carmel.
When she was in Carmel.
Elle eut parfois des moments de grande grâce.
She had some times of great grace.
Sa prière était souvent dans une certaine aridité.
But her prayer was often very arid.
Elle sentait pas beaucoup la présence de Dieu.
She didn't really feel the presence of God much.
Et elle avançait dans la foi.
But she went forward in faith.
Une grande foi.
In a great faith.
Et puis aussi, elle avait un autre problème dans la prière.
And she had another problem in prayer.
C'est qu'elle était très jeune quand elle entrait au Carmel.
And she was very young when she entered Carmel.
Elle avait 15 ans.
She was 15.
Les nuits étaient courtes.
And the nights were short.
Donc elle manquait de sommeil.
So she didn't get enough sleep.
La conséquence était que parfois pendant la prière,
and so consequently, sometimes during prayer,
elle aurait bien voulu prier,
she would have really liked to pray and to be present for Jesus, but she fell asleep kind of often. And she's the one who says this.
Ce qui est intéressant, c'est comment elle réagit.
But what's interesting is how she reacts.
Et donc, il y a un passage, je vous dis la chose suivante.
So there's a passage where she says,
je devrais me désoler,
she says, I should be desolate.
de dormir pendant ma prière.
Of the fact that I fall asleep during prayer.
Comme ça m'arrive de temps en temps.
Since it happens sometimes.
Mais je me désole pas.
But she says I'm not desolate.
Donc elle va donner des raisons.
And she gives her reasons why.
On va lire ce texte.
So we'll read this passage.
Okay.
I should be desolate for having slept for 7 years during my hours of prayer and my thanksgivings after Holy Communion. Well, I am not desolate. I remember that little children are as pleasing to their parents when they are asleep as well as when they are wide awake. I remember, too, that when they perform operations, doctors put their patients to sleep. Finally, I remember that the Lord knows our weakness, that He is mindful that we are but dust and ashes.
Il y a de l'humour dans ce texte.
So there's some humor in this passage. There's also a lot of wisdom. Thérèse gives 3 reasons for why she does not become desolate. The third, God knows us. He knows what we are. He sees our goodwill. And this is what counts for Him. Not our human weakness, but our goodwill.
Donc, la première raison que Thérèse donne,
and the first reason that Thérèse gives
les parents aiment autant les enfants,
is that parents love their children as much
quand ils dorment,
when they're asleep
que quand ils sont éveillés.
As when they're awake.
Une fois, j'ai parlé de ça devant un père de famille.
So one time I was speaking about this before a father of a family.
Je peux me dire à la fin de l'enseignement,
and he came to tell me at the end of the teaching,
et moi, j'ai 6 enfants,
he said, I have 6 kids.
Je peux vous dire que je les aime beaucoup plus quand ils dorment.
And I can tell you that I love them a lot more when they're asleep.
Mais alors, quelle est la vérité profonde, là?
But what's the deep truth there?
Ce que Thérèse a compris,
what Thérèse understood,
que ce qui est essentiel,
and what is essential
dans la prière,
in prayer,
c'est pas ce que moi je fais,
is not what I do,
mais c'est ce que Dieu fait,
but what God does.
Alors moi, je fais ce que je peux,
so I do what I can,
avec fidélité, avec bonne volonté,
with faithfulness and with goodwill. I don't always come up with great results at the end. But God, He never stops loving me. God looks at me with love. And that's what's most important. Thérèse is not centered on herself, but on God. And she knows that in these times of prayer, even if sometimes she falls asleep, God looks at her and God loves her. And God communicates His love to her. And she has to receive it. Because this is the most important. To give God this joy of receiving His love. And to allow ourselves to be loved by Him.
And
this is very beautiful as an attitude. Sometimes I'm distracted in prayer. But I have to say something to myself. That God is not distracted. Maybe my prayer wasn't extraordinary, but I believe that God did something. And I give Him thanks for that. So there's an attitude there that seems very simple to me, but very beautiful. To really be turned toward God in the reception of His love, which is one of the essential sides of prayer. And then also what Thérèse says, she talks about doctors who put their patients to sleep. How can we understand this? So why do doctors put their patients to sleep? It's not to do something bad to them. But it's above all, it's just to work in peace. I put the patient to sleep. That way I can work in peace. Because if the patient wakes up, he says, what are you doing? Are you cutting the right thing? The patient sleeps and the doctor works in peace. But I think this corresponds to certain times in our prayer life. Sometimes we understand and we're collaborating. We're acting. We're collaborating with God. This is very good. But sometimes there are times of poverty, kind of like falling asleep. It's not laziness. But there are times when we have difficulty understanding what's going on.
contrôlons pas dans tout dans notre vie.
We're not controlling everything in our lives.
La seule chose que nous pouvons faire,
the only thing we can do
c'est de nous abandonner,
is to surrender ourselves.
Non pas de faire,
not to do,
d'agir,
to act,
et de laisser de faire,
but to allow God to do,
et dans la confiance,
in trust,
et dans l'abandon,
and in surrender.
Et peut-être que c'est dans ces moments-là,
and maybe it's in these moments
que Dieu fait les opérations les plus profondes,
that God carries out the deepest operations, much further above what we can perceive, not in a human wisdom, but in his divine wisdom. God acts in our life in a secret way. And one day we'll see the fruit. So let us not be afraid of these moments of obscurity and poverty. We just entrust ourselves completely to the Lord, who is working in a marvelous way in the secret of our heart. And let us remember as well that one of the fundamental acts of prayer is to receive God's love. To receive it in a complete trust and in faith, like children who allow themselves to be loved. This is how we will be healed, and how we will little by little be converted. When we're no longer centered on ourselves, but completely turned toward God, in trust and in love.